Welcome to Exploring Hydrogen. Here we will learn about all the exciting advancements, opportunities and challenges of this nascent energy sector. We delve into how hydrogen can contribute to the decarbonisation of Australia and the world, and investigate what it's going to take for adoption and into transportation, industry and society. I'm Andy Marsland. Welcome to our energising journey. I'm thrilled to welcome our guest today, Peter Goggin, who is Manager Hydrogen Development at Stanmore Corporation. Peter has over 3 decades of experience in the electricity industry. He has worked in various capacities in business development, commercialisation and project delivery in Australia and the United Kingdom. Throughout his career, Peter has developed projects across a wide range of domains, including solar PV, energy efficiency, battery storage, wind power, wave power, bioenergy and waste-to-energy technologies. A very warm welcome, Pete.
Thanks, Andy. Great to be here.
And thanks for joining us on the Exploring Hydrogen podcast. First, perhaps we could set the scene for the listeners. Who is Stanmore Corporation?
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Stanmore's a Queensland government-owned corporation. We have about 3.2 gigawatts of coal-fired power generation, and we're really moving towards a transformation of that generation base to a renewable energy future. So we have about 3 gigawatts of renewable energy in our pipeline, either contracted or under development. So that's pretty exciting to be part of that transition. And we also have a very large hydrogen export project under development at the moment, and it's currently in a front-end engineering and design phase.
That's the CQH2 project that you're referring to?
That's right, yes, CQH2. So that's currently undertaking a $117 million FEED study with some of our international consortium members.
Yeah, and one of your colleagues was a guest on the podcast in one of the early episodes, I think perhaps episode 2. So, yeah, if the listeners would like to learn more about that project, head to episode 2. So your role as Manager Hydrogen Development, can you give us an overview of what that position entails?
Yes, I can. So hydrogen development is really, in Stanwell, focused on, I guess, supporting the activity in the Central Queensland Hydrogen Project, or CQH2, as we call it. And it's also about looking at our operational readiness to be in the business of hydrogen. So whilst CQH2 is a large project, we also have ambitions to be in the business of hydrogen. And so that requires us to look at, are we operationally ready to do that? What's our knowledge base looking like? Do we understand all the technologies that we will be ultimately involved in operating in a commercial project? So hydrogen development is all those things other than the CQH2 project that we think in hydrogen we need to be ready for.
Yeah, that brings us on quite nicely to, before this discussion, we were talking about how you were spending your time and the FAITH project that you're involved with. And perhaps you could outline to listeners, what does FAITH stand for and what is that project?
Well, we do operate in the energy sector, so you've got to have an acronym. So the Future Energy Innovation and Training Hub, or FAITH as it's become known as, is a precinct that I guess we've developed and is under development to assist us with a number of really key things that we need to do. We need to get ourselves in a position to be able to operate and understand future energy technology. So not just hydrogen, but the battery technologies and other renewable energy technologies will be tested and trialled there. We also need to look out into the future around what the emerging technologies are coming down the line at us, and so have a precinct to help us test and trial those. And the T in FAITH is training. This is a key feature of the FAITH, is that it will be a location for our people to get training in these new technologies that are emerging into our low carbon future.
Sounds exciting. It sounds like you're really at the sort of forefront of those emerging and new technologies.
Yeah, that's right. So we're looking at, in this facility, as the foundation technologies, we have an iron flow battery, which is going to be installed at the site. We've done a deal with a startup Australian company called Hysata, which we're incredibly excited about. Hysata's invented a hydrogen electrolyzer, which is holding great promise in terms of step change efficiency in converting water into hydrogen. And we're very lucky to be working with them around bringing their first pilot unit to the FAITH. And the precinct itself will feature a microgrid, a solar farm, and we'll be able to understand not just the individual technologies and how they operate, but also how they are integrated into a broader scheme. So it becomes, I guess, a sand pit for us to look at what's new and emerging, and also to validate things that perhaps are off the shelf, but we haven't had any experience with up to this point. And the whole point of all of those things is to get them and ourselves ready for deployment into commercial projects in the future.
Fantastic. And perhaps we can dig into each one of those a little bit further. So iron flow batteries, perhaps we can start there. For the listeners, yeah, what is an iron flow battery, and what's the potential use case?
Yeah, so this iron flow battery is a medium duration chemistry. Our interest in it is that with a large portfolio of renewable energy in our future, we need to be able to firm that renewable energy because it is variable. When the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, you need to be able to provide power. So this technology is under trial for us as a potential firming technology in our future. So it'll be a 1 megawatt, 10 megawatt hour battery. So it will provide a megawatt for 10 hours. So you can see it's got that longer duration aspect to it.
Yeah, great. Hysata, you mentioned, those electrolyzers offer step change efficiencies. Could you explain to the listeners a little bit more about that, about the advantages and how their technology differs from other electrolyzers that are available now?
Yeah, sure. So Hysata have spun out of the University of Wollongong with a technology idea which is quite novel. It's a capillary-fed electrolyzer technology, which is different from anything that we had seen before. And it's a local technology, so we're all about supporting local tech coming into the FAITH. And it's promising at this stage to reduce the overall consumption of electricity from an electrolyzer, by about 20%. And this would be a huge advantage in the production of hydrogen, given that 60 to 70% of the cost of hydrogen is electricity. So obviously having something that's significantly more efficient will give us the ability to produce hydrogen more cheaply and more efficiently.
Yeah, and I understand the Hysata technology also has or doesn't use rare metals like some of the other electrolyzers do.
That's right. So it's an alkaline-based technology. So I guess the value proposition from Hysata is that efficiency gain that we're looking at, but also the use of what you consider commonly available material. So there's no exotic or platinum group metals in membranes. So this is a technology that we're looking at and saying, well, it should give us an efficiency gain, but also given there's no exotic, metals in it, it should be very cost effective in a capital sense as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Just considering the size of that, I understand that it's 5 megawatts. Is that right?
Yeah. So the ultimate size of the technology will range. Hysata is still developing the final form of the pilot unit that will come. It will land between that 4 to 5 megawatt range, perhaps closer to 4 at this stage. But as a startup, they're still working out exactly what the optimal configuration might be in a megawatt scale unit. And what I guess we're interested in offering at the FAITH is that megawatt scale piloting. And for hydrogen, we really sort of see, I guess, a couple of reasons why we would do this at the FAITH. So we'll have more than one technology at the FAITH in hydrogen. And we might, for example, with Hysata, we're testing and trialing it for the potential to procure it in the future for a commercial project. So we'll have a test bays available to do that at the FAITH. But we'll also be looking at supporting the CQH2 project as it's selecting the technology for that very large export-focused project. We'll also look to deploy at the FAITH technologies there that are perhaps off the shelf, but for a different reason, and that would be for our operational readiness to develop the relationship with that vendor or that OEM, and for us to get some training in that before we take the keys to a very large hydrogen production facility at Gladstone.
Yeah, and just for to give the listeners that sense of perception, I understand that the largest operational electrolyzer at the moment in Australia is only 1.25. Is that right? So you're looking at doing a 4 to 5. So it's even significantly above that. And then this is the kind of middle road, as it were, before you go to that kind of mega scale.
That's right, Andy. The big challenge in the industry is this scaling challenge. And that's why I guess the faith is sort of focused in the hydrogen space on that megawatt scale. So we don't want to replicate what our research institutions are doing. You know, they focus on watts and kilowatts and do a great job of that. And what we're trying to do is bridge the gap between that sort of kilowatt scale and what we might do in a export project, which is gigawatt scale. So it seemed to us that that was a gap for us to fill. And you're absolutely right. As far as I'm aware, so something like a 4 to 5 megawatt electrolyzer is certainly up there with the largest in Australia. But you can see, you know, perhaps to put it in context, the CQH2 project might be 2.5 to 3 gigawatts of electrolyzer capacity in its ultimate form. Mm-hmm. So we've got a big scaling challenge right there, right? So
Stanwell's CEO, Michael O'Rourke, said that the Faith project will be the visible bright spark of Stanwell's transformation to clean energy. And he made the comment, "Our vision is for Faith to be a catalyst for advancing the energy transformation, not just for Stanwell, but for the entire state." What do you think he meant by these comments about, you know, supporting the entire state? So I guess, yeah, how does Faith support firstly Stanwell and then the local community around the Rockhampton area where the project's going to be, and then more broadly for the state of Queensland?
So I guess the Faith will be adjacent to our Stanwell Power Station, which is just west of Rockhampton. When you look at the site there, there's a great feature of it, which will be Stanwell's capable of running this very complex coal-fired power station, and in the future it will run technologies that will feature in the Faith. So I guess both for our workforce and for our community, you can start to build the confidence there that complex machines generating energy and other forms of energy will be something that is in our future. The other thing, I guess, for our community is that, you know, we're coming into these communities to develop technologies, and there's really a relatively low level of understanding of exactly what that means. So I think we're very keen to use the Faith as a place perhaps to gain that sort of confidence in the community around, particularly with hydrogen. What we would like to do at the Faith is also have that as a facility to demonstrate that this is a very safe technology. We're capable of running this complex activity within the communities and gain the confidence of the community that we can do this and roll it out at scale in the future.
So what stage are you at on the project at the moment? Is the iron flow battery up and running yet, or you know, in the high SARTA, or what point or what time are they going to be operational?
Yeah, so the time horizon is we have currently started the common infrastructure, the foundation infrastructure to connect these devices. As you can appreciate, or as you alluded to before, these are actually not tiny bits of machinery, so they're megawatt scale. So we need to build the electrical connection, the water connections, and undertake some civil works at the site. So that work has already commenced, and the iron flow battery civil works will begin in the next few months. But it is a phased development. So we have got some funding from the Queensland Government, from the Queensland Renewable Energy Hydrogen Jobs Fund, which is fantastic. So $44.7 million has been approved by Queensland Government to go ahead with that. So we have the funding in place. We've got a project team currently executing the foundation technology. So we're hoping to be ready for our HySARTA pilot unit, you know, within the next 12 months, and we'll build this facility out over time, including the training hub as well, the training building.
That's great. All very exciting. You mentioned microgrids as well. You mentioned a solar farm. Are you doing anything around either wind technologies or bioenergy, solar thermal, or anything else?
Yeah. So it's a little harder to undertake the wind the wind piece in a facility like this, but we are looking at how we might be able to incorporate particularly some training. Stanwell has established a service and maintenance business, SAMCO, we call it. The development programs around that, we're hoping to include some features in the FAITH that will assist with that. It may not necessarily involve 160-metre wind tower, but there's certainly the ability to put, you know, nacelles and gearboxes and other maintenance type features into the FAITH in the future. We'd love to develop some solid use cases around the hydrogen that will be produced at the FAITH and extend not just the testing and trialing of the hydrogen production side of it, but also the downstream features of it as well. So that might include storage, that might include end use for transport or fuel cells. We have an open mind to that. We do have a set of criteria that will apply to technologies and things that come into the FAITH, but generally we're looking, you know, into our future and saying, well, you know, how can we help close the gap on some of these things that we'll eventually hope to be deploying in commercial settings.
Yes. On that, how do you decide? Because there's that many potential technologies out there. What's the criteria that organisations have got to go through before you decide to partner with someone?
Yeah, it's a good question. It has become, it'd be fair to say, widely popular, the FAITH. I think it's generated a lot of excitement within our organisation and more broadly. You know, for example, we've signed a great collaboration agreement with Central Queensland Uni, and so they're very keen to come out and in their renewables and hydrogen research to feature, which we're very open to. How do you decide what goes there? Well, there are a few criteria for us. I suppose it would start really with us being aligned with the counterparty around the objectives. I mean, Stanwell has, I guess, some gateway criteria in terms of, if you like, alignment with organisations about where they're heading. And I think on the technology side, we would certainly be looking at something around a technology readiness level assessment that should be at the higher end of the scale. So if we had someone come in with, say, a TRL technology at the 2 or 3, we'd love to send them off to our research institutions, so Central Queensland Uni or other research institutions, to help them get from that technology readiness level up to a level that we'd be happy to accept them at the FAITH. So on the technology side, that should be at 6 or 7. And what we'd be hoping to do at the FAITH is maybe bridge that gap to, you know, to 9 and then into that commercial readiness stage. So that would be one set of criteria, but we'd also need to assess, you know, their capability in terms of capability to actually deploy the technology and its scaling potential as well. So, you know, there's probably half a dozen criteria that we'd put technologies and companies through in order that they'd feature at the FAITH.
On the training side, is that focused on trades? You mentioned community awareness as well, or could you give the listeners a bit more of an understanding of what that training piece would look like?
Yeah, sure. So the training piece is quite a complex thing to undertake. Stanwell doesn't want to necessarily be a training organisation. We definitely partner with others to do that. The FAITH itself, in a training sense, we have a Future Pathways program at the moment that's being developed. And the training, you know, might feature from anywhere from, you know, general awareness around these technologies. So just general awareness around hydrogen, for example, all the way through to higher education and PhD and postdoc type work. But I guess there's a range of different skills that need to be developed. We've done an assessment internally. We know that there's a lot of commonality with the skill sets that we have in our workforce. So there may need to be some cross-skilling or upskilling of our workforce into these new technologies. So the site will actually feature the ability to house that training, we're hoping, and that may also include virtual or augmented reality training that could be undertaken at the site, which would open up the potential for us to not just do things that are physically constrained by the site, but also using that modern virtual reality type technology to get training opened up more broadly to users of the facility.
Yeah, so is the primary focus for STEM personnel at the Rockhampton SPS site? And at what point will you, if at all, be including other people, and how would they go about sort of applying or being involved?
Yeah, so the training program, I think it'd be fair to say, is in its infancy. I guess one of the features of training is that you need the technology there to undertake the training. So we're doing a lot of planning around what that actually looks like and when these technologies will turn up. And then you also need to have, I guess the flip side of it is to be trained in something you actually want to have a job in that area. So to be trained in it and move to the commercial project. So I don't think it's exclusive. It would be the exclusive domain of the Stanwell workforce. It'd certainly be a facility we're hoping, you know, to have an open door to other parts of the industry. Stanwell has a strategic objective to drive the hydrogen industry in Queensland. So I think we definitely see it being a Team Queensland approach here. And so as those training programs are developed, it certainly wouldn't be exclusive to our workforce.
It sounds perhaps too early on to answer this question, but any idea of potential numbers of people you'd be able to train per year?
I think it's a little early for that. Andy, I suppose it would be fair to say that, you know, the faith has come from a fairly aspirational idea quite quickly to where it is today, which is, you know, some dirt being turned and some civil works about to be undertaken. But, yeah, we haven't probably fully formed all of those aspects of, you know, of the training.
So in your position, what are the biggest challenges? What's keeping you up at night?
In the hydrogen space, it's definitely those scaling challenges. I think the industry, or you said it before, we're dealing in single megawatt scale at the moment in hydrogen production technologies. So I guess it's that big sort of scaling up challenge, you know, at the technical level. You know, the other aspects of it are that in a commercial setting, we have great features in Australia and in Queensland in particular with an abundance of renewable energy. We need to get it to the places that we need to use it. And then for our export partners, you know, to get it to them at a price that makes sense. So I guess, you know, the challenges around it are that it's a brand new industry. There's a lot of new things, novel things going on in the industry. And it definitely needs the full support of everybody to make it work. So everybody in the supply chain, really, to make hydrogen cost effective and a feature in our decarbonised future.
Yeah, fantastic. How would you gauge the success of the project?
I would imagine if you cast your mind forward, you know, 5-6 years, what I would see as success would be a precinct that's been deployed with technologies demonstrating for us their capability to be deployed into commercial settings. Love to see people being trained at the site. I'd love to see our research institutions undertaking cutting-edge research and helping to position Queensland as a hydrogen superpower, which is really an aspiration that I think, you know, we should have here. We have all the ingredients to be that. We have our trading partners, particularly Korea and Japan, saying to us, you already provide all this energy to us. It just happens to have carbon in it. We'd love you to provide energy with no carbon in it. So that's a great opportunity for us. If we can grasp it, I think we can. So success for me with faith would look like a precinct that's really supporting that aspiration with some infrastructure already deployed and with a vibrant environment there to show our community just what we're doing to take advantage of this great decarbonisation challenge we have on our hands. Yeah.
That's great. I love it. Yeah. Are there any technologies aside from the ones that we've already mentioned that you're particularly excited about, even if it's not directly applicable to the Faith project? Is there any cool things that you've seen or presented to you?
Look, we've had the great benefit of looking at a whole range of different hydrogen production technologies. I'm pretty astounded by just the diversity of that technology across the world. And as you may know, Stanwell's CQH2 project's been shortlisted for the Hydrogen Head Start, which is a great program. We definitely see that as a great stepping stone to, you know, for hydrogen projects in Australia to get going. And I think that's generated a lot of interest. We've actually been a little bit overwhelmed by the inbound inquiries, particularly since the Hydrogen Head Start announcement, which went out across the world, obviously. So just the wide variety of different chemistries and techniques that people are working on, it's pretty astounding. And, to split the humble, water molecule into this versatile fuel, it's pretty amazing, actually. It's a great sort of field to be working in.
Yeah, and like you say, I'm sure that publicity that you're getting has its own challenges to kind of work through all those approaches to understand if they're going to align and if you want to take them further. So I'm sure you and the team have got such a big task ahead of you. There's always the danger of spreading yourself too thinly, isn't there?
Yeah, look, it's something that you have to be mindful of, that you can't feature every technology in every aspect. But it's certainly been a great challenge for us to understand the features of all this technology and how it might be applied into those sort of future commercial projects. And I guess CQHU has the benefit of being a phased project, so over the next 10 years or so, it will scale up. And so what my team is looking at is, okay, if the technology we select in the first phase, if you accept that premise that the technology selected in the first phase may not be the technology selected in future phases, then we really need to get ourselves, our minds wrapped around all of these technologies so that we can make good and informed decisions down the track about whether this technology is right for the application that we're looking at.
Are there any recommendations from an Australian-wide perspective or even state by state about how we can help accelerate the industry, well, either just the hydrogen industry or decarbonisation more broadly, that you'd like to see?
Yeah, look, I think the Hydrogen Head Start is a great starting point for Australia. We're certainly going to need that government support, and we've had fantastic support already from ARENA, from our own state government, from our consortium partners in getting to this stage. But I guess more effort's required, and I guess it's the bringing together of all that support across the supply chain to actually make it happen in the timeframes that we need it to happen.
Yeah, and talking about that collaboration from the outside, it seems like something that Stanwell has done very well in terms of your downstream partners that you have on the CQH2. Are you able to talk more about the organisations that you've got involved in that?
A little bit. Sure. Stanwell, I guess, has taken, a customer-led approach. And so its co-lead in this is Iwatani. So Iwatani, we're very, very keen to get involved in this, but on the basis that it had some scale and obviously with a Japanese interest. So we have Iwatani, Marubeni, Kansai Electric, and we've also got Keppel Infrastructure, a Singapore-based organisation. And we have, two what you'd call vectors off the back end of the project at the moment. One is ammonia. So Keppel Infrastructure will build an ammonia synthesis plant to take the gaseous hydrogen from CQH2. And then it will use that for both domestic and export purposes. And Kansai Electric have an interest in liquefied hydrogen. So those two companies, are the off-takers in the project, and pretty important to have off-takers because we need someone to take that hydrogen from our project. So it has been a customer-led activity as far as Stanwell's concerned. I think that's something that sort of sets us apart perhaps from other projects that are on the cards.
Obviously, without betraying any confidential information, are there any learnings that Stanwell has had that might be of benefit to other organisations or comparable organisations looking to develop their hydrogen and renewables businesses?
You need to be patient. It's a complicated thing. It's very complex. It requires perhaps the willingness to keep at it and be resilient around it. And I think really I would say it's that customer-led approach. I think there's been a lot of hype around hydrogen. I think what's got to happen really is both the you can spend a lot of time thinking about producing it, but you also need to bring the demand side of hydrogen along as well. So So having a keen understanding and a close relationship with those off-takers is a key attribute of a hydrogen project. I guess doing it in the right location is key as well. We're a little bit biased, but we think, you know, Central Queensland is the right place to do this. You know, we have the luxury of a great port there. It is the energy kind of powerhouse of Central Queensland in terms of ability to access renewable energy. The project's been developed in a state development area, so we have that benefit of developing something in a allocated area for this type of industrial activity. You know, we felt like we've ticked a lot of boxes around the right location. And I guess, you know, Gladstone is currently exports a lot of LNG and coal out of that port as well. So it is, in terms of access to the end markets, to our customers, it is the right location in that sense. There's a well-worn capability to get LNG and coal from there to our markets, and the same will apply to hydrogen as well in the future.
That's great. Is there any other information that we haven't already spoken about that you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, no, we've spoken about quite a lot. Of
yeah, it's been such a diverse conversation, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I think, I think very excited about the faith opportunity. It's been something that I guess is a bit of a passion project for me. So really looking forward to seeing how that evolves over time. And, you know, I think it's going to be a very popular destination. And I really hope in the future, you know, we can reflect on it and say, well, that was actually the catalyst for a whole lot of great things that, you know, have now been applied into commercial projects in Queensland and maybe beyond in Australia.
And how can the audience follow what you and your team and what Stanwell is up to?
Sure. Yeah, I think we have a very active LinkedIn site that people can follow. But certainly the Stanwell website has information about the project. Certainly be a place to get some more information around hydrogen activities.
Yeah, we could get those links in the show notes for everyone. Yeah, thanks so much, Pete, for your time. I'm sure the listeners would have enjoyed that conversation and really appreciate it. And I guess in closing, any asks for the audience, any suggestions or anything further that you'd like to share?
No, I don't think so. I think we're continuing to try and plot a path to a low carbon future at Stanwell. We're very keen to take advantage of our natural features that we have, attributes we have in Queensland. And yeah, I'd love for us to, in the future, be considered, you know, taking advantage of that and become, you know, hydrogen superpower. That'd be a great thing to aspire to.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Pete.
Thanks, Andy.
I'm Andy Marsland. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for joining us on the hydrogen journey. We welcome you to join us at our next episode. Please remember to subscribe and review the show, and hope to see you next time.